This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Moms and Murder podcast, a true crime podcast featuring myself, Mandy, and my dear friend, Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Mandy. How are you?
I'm doing great because today is the day we've been talking about to our listeners for a while. We have a little bit of a different episode today with some special guests. Today we have Kristen Hensley and Jen Smedley of I Mom So Hard. Melissa, do you want to tell us a little bit about I Mom So Hard and who they are and what they do? I know some people probably already know who they are.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of people, but.
So we didn't do a great job in our interview with them explaining who they were. So we wanted to add this little intro. So they actually started about a year ago with these videos about parenting and just the funny life stuff that nobody tells you about with parenting. So it's not like, oh, my life's so great. Look at my Instagram account. It's mostly like my kid pooped on me and I caught it while putting Desitin on another one. Random, like real life things that happen to you. And they're just super, super funny. They're comedians out of LA. And so they started making these videos, I Mom So Hard. So they do I Mom So Hard, I Wine So Hard, I Drink Wine So Hard, all these things. And they're huge. Like they took off. They're mostly – you mostly find them on Facebook, but you can find them on YouTube as well. So a few of our listeners had told us like how great they were and that we should connect with them. And so we reached out to them and –
They said yes
for reasons I still don't understand. So what you're going to hear is our little interview with them, and it's less murder this week. There's some murder talk and crime talk.
But it's mostly moms.
Mostly mom stuff. So we appreciate you guys listening. We will be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week. Just thought this would be a nice little break for you guys and hope you enjoy.
Today we have with us Kristen Hensley and Jen Smedley of I Mom So Hard. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi. We're good. I mean, by good, you know, we count good
hanging
as a six.
Yeah.
Six. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Anything above like a three is a good day.
I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking like between Jen and I as an average, we're a six.
Yeah.
That's where
we're each a three.
But that's actually
a combined total.
Total. No one's on life support. You're doing really good. I mark that as a plus on my day. So
you jinx us today.
Yeah. Got a lot of hours left in the day.
So ladies, we had contacted you guys way back in early November, and we had seen one of your Facebook videos where you had been discussing your guilty pleasures. And one of the things that you guys mentioned was that you loved true crime podcasts. And that was a fun pastime for you guys to do whenever you were laying in bed or doing all the other things that moms do. So that's kind of how we came to get in touch with you guys and get you on the show. So we're really, really excited about that. But would you like to tell us a little bit about how you guys met?
Sure. It's actually really funny because Jen and I are both originally from Nebraska, and you know, it's not a lot of people in that state. And then we both went to school in Lincoln, but we never met there. So we had all the same friends. We were doing the same thing. She was going to Wesleyan and I was going to the university, and like our paths never crossed, which was so weird because my college roommate was actually in a comedy show with her. And I'm certain I saw that show. I probably just was hammered and don't remember. Then we both moved out to LA, still had never met. And then we ended up at still had all the same friends. We were doing all the same things. It's insane how many people we knew in common. Then we ended up at this comedy show that my friend was in. There were literally three people in the audience. I was one of them. Jen was in the comedy show. And I remember thinking, oh, she's really funny. And then went to have beers afterwards in the parking lot, as you do at a very small theater in LA in the outskirts of town, and quickly figured out that we were from Nebraska. And then it was just like a Rolodex of names coming out. It was like made us angry.
Yeah.
How many people, every party we go to, she knew more people at my wedding than I did.
Oh. A Florida beer, or it sounds like a Florida party to be out in the parking lot drinking beer. So I'm glad to see that spreads all the way to LA.
In LA, they think it's kitschy, but in Nebraska, where we're from, it's just, you know, a Tuesday.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys actually, I shouldn't say actually, is there anything you guys miss about being in Nebraska?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'd like to lead with the cost of real estate.
Here's what you don't do. You don't drink wine and then Zillow Nebraska real estate if you live in California, because all you'll do is cry and you'll look at the beautiful pictures and the big yards and the big houses and the perfect schools and
your standards get really pretty low in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
you're like looking at a preschool just where I'm betting my kids won't get stabbed or something.
Yeah, and then you go to Nebraska and like the basements, like the square foot of the basements are bigger than the square foot of our homes.
Yeah.
You know, you just get, my mom comes out and she's like, a 2-1, what's that? Yeah. What I can afford.
So is there anything that you don't miss about Nebraska?
God, I love Nebraska and all its glory. Those winners can go shove it right up their ass.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's no school because it's so cold today there.
Yeah.
It got canceled because of wind chill. No, thank you.
No, so thanks.
Not snow, just wind chill.
The cold. No, the snow is amazing. It's that wind chill that, like, you walk out and it peels your skin and your hands don't work. And, like, I remember as a kid that they would make us go to recess when it was that cold. And there were these, like, half tires that were in the playground. And we would bundle up, there would be 8 of us in a tire just each other's body heat, like we were trying to survive, like I don't know, like the
yeah,
wasn't James Franco in that movie?
Yeah, do you mean like the
half tractor tire, and it would stick out of the ground, you know, and we'd all climb in and like bundle up and we would climb on top of each other, and then they would call recess and all of us had like snot attached to our I love Nebraska.
Like, I don't know how moms do it in the cold weather.
No.
Either with like bundle them up, get them in the car seat,
then they have to pee
the car. Yeah.
I think they should make a snowsuit that you can pee in, and that's for both adults and children.
I think you're onto something. That's like a Shark Tank idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that too. And my husband's always like, you can't just call it a Shark Tank idea unless it's a fully fleshed business.
Oh, you can.
Yeah. I've seen some pretty not worthy things on that show.
So. I agree. My husband is wrong, which is usual.
Yeah. So how did you guys actually decide to start iMom So Hard? This is like a mom sensation. Everybody we know loves you guys and has told us about you all. And how did this get started? How did this brainchild come to be?
Well, I always like to say, because Kristen's kids are 6 and 4 and mine are almost 5.
Well, actually, they're both really close to 5.
Eleanor and Dash, Eleanor is Kristen's daughter and Dash is my son. They're 6 weeks apart. And then Kristen has one her son Finn's 2 years older. And then I have a daughter who's 2 years younger. So they're spread out.
So we have 2 double 4s and a 6.
Sorry, I can tell that in a more boring, long way. Kristen was like my parenting guru, so to speak.
Which
I was like,
just tells you how desperate she was.
Yeah. She's done this longer and your kids look healthy. So what do I? And so I would go and tell her like all the ways I was messing up. And she was like, well, yeah, of course. Like everybody does that. So our families were together at her house one night and the husbands had the kids outside and we're having wine in the kitchen. And we just started laugh crying about how ridiculous.
Yeah. We were like, what? Like crying, like why doesn't anybody tell you the truth? Like, everybody's got perfect Instagram pictures and perfect Facebook videos, and everybody's right. sweet and having all these like amazing moments. And like, my kid dropped the F-bomb at school, and like, I'm sucking at this. And so I think Jen and I, having a comedy background, luckily, because I feel like that helped us cope.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we thought, well, let's do this thing on our terms, and let's, we weren't quite sure what it was. And we thought, we've got this idea, and let's work it out. And so that's how we sort of shot the first video. And then we went about it the wrong way. We went into it sort of being like TV hosts when we first did it, because we thought the only way we just needed to be peppy.
Yeah.
But then the real life circumstances of what we were doing, like, we're leading the charge. Like, I was having a raging period. It felt like I was going to die. And Jen had like not slept in 2 weeks because she was nursing Delilah. And here we are trying to be like these like moms that were, everything is okay. And then we started shooting and we introduced our kids' names, and Jen forgot Delilah's name.
I love that.
And so in that clip,
she was 4 months old and I never used her name. Really.
Everybody's on the fence for the first 4 months. You're like, do I like the name? Is it legal?
Yeah. Can we change it still?
I actually know someone who changed their baby's name when he was like 8 weeks old, but then they changed it back to the original name. That was real confusing.
Funny.
I like that.
I'm on the fence about my daughter's middle name. Like, I was like, but we'll just tell people it's different.
We gave our daughter a stripper middle name just in case.
And you know, we'll call it something else. Like, she'll be like an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But we did the first video, and there's just this moment where Jen forgets Delilah's name, and I laugh really loud. And we knew like in that moment, that was kind of the universe saying like, it felt good to us. And we thought, I wonder if it will translate to everybody else. So we posted just that, but we didn't even have a Facebook page. And then it, all of a sudden and then the next day we did a Facebook page, like official page, and we ended up with like 5,000 followers. And we were like, between the two of us, we don't know that many people. Who's following us? And that's when we realized like, oh, and we were reading the comments and we were like, it's other moms. This is awesome. So then we shot another Mother's Day video. And then after that, we did like hemorrhoids, and then it started to really like.
It all starts with hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
It all starts with hemorrhoids.
And yeah. Really, that's where we all begin as humans. That's our all baseline.
Yep.
Basically. Yeah. Oh, I really appreciate it so much too, because you always see that, like, you know, people on social media and even moms and everybody just wants to do that, you know, perfect life thing that, you know, they put that out there for people to see, but it's not really reality. And then even I have a hard time not comparing myself to seeing what I see online. I have to remember that's not real. So I love what you guys are doing, because that's real and that's accurate. Yeah. You know, that's really what motherhood is like and what life is like as a mom and having young kids. And it's not always fun or it's not always put together. So yeah. I love that you guys do that and put yourselves out there like that. I think it's so great. And I just love it.
It's so fun. Thank you.
Yeah. You're typically like scrolling social media either in the bathroom or like in a closet hiding snacks from your children. So the last thing I want to see about is somebody's perfect vacation or everybody in white shirts and jeans, you know, on the beach with their photo. I can't take it. I will flush my phone down the toilet if I see one more of those.
I know. I'm telling you, the Christmas cards, man.
Oh, like, yeah.
I didn't do them this year. We didn't do them. We have yet to have a family photo that Eleanor's in. Like, we have one with Ben because he's first kid. So, like, we did, like, you know, the ones. And even on that day, I can remember being, like, Colin and I were arguing because he wore a crappy sweater. And, like, our smiles are super forced. It looks like we're, like, pull him back, make it look like a smile. Like, nothing about it was fun. But you get this image that seems perfect. And it's just not – look, we all have those pictures on our phone where you look at them and you're, like, oh, my God, they're being so sweet right now. And, like – and that's because it's butted up to them being nightmares.
Well, my mother-in-law this year for Christmas cards, she actually took my kids, brought them to get pictures, printed them out, gave me the cards, gave me stamps, and told me to send them out to people. So
she needs to come over.
She's awesome. But I just loved it. She knew I was not, there's just no way I was going to do it on my own. So she figured that out. We did have a question about your comedy background because we're super interested, and I just find it so fascinating. Obviously, sure. You guys did so great with I Mom So Hard, you know, that kind of took off for you quickly, but you have a long history of comedy. And if I remember correctly, you guys started in Second City. Were you with Second City or?
Yeah, we both have varying backgrounds in comedy. I think this is Kristen. Yeah. I sort of Second City and then went to IO and then the West Side Comedy Theater where I met my husband. So that's my theater of choice. But really just improvising all over town. I was with a sketch group for like 5 years and we did like a really fun musical, sketch show. And then that all kind of slowed down when kids came around, you know, it's just hard to do those shows. They're late night. They're harder in terms of just collecting people. And I think that was a natural transition for me to go into stand up. And then Jen and I started working together. It was kind of all you know, the years of doing comedy sort of all mushed together.
Yeah.
I feel like 3 years, but it really is like, well, we're only 28. So what's the math on that?
Yeah.
We need to start faking some numbers right now. So graduated in 2002. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both had done like, you know, improv and stand up and sketch and writing and like, usually kids are just supposed to like kill your career. If you're anything.
If you're like, anything, I mean, kills your career, period. I
mean, yeah. We met physicians that have quit their job.
Yeah. Like, they couldn't remember how to do it anymore.
Right.
So, we didn't expect, but I guess it's like, you just, like, we didn't expect motherhood to help our career. Like be able to combine things that we love. That feels impossible to us, but I would say probably because part of the reason that we're such good friends is that we make each other laugh about all of our failures, which is how we figured out like the tone of the videos was if we make the other one laugh, then we know it's probably going to make somebody else laugh.
Yeah,
for sure. So into the vein of comedy. Well, first of all, Kristen, you were on my favorite show, Parks and Rec, and I was so excited to see you on there. And that was like the most thrilling thing ever.
It was the most thrilling thing ever for me too, because I didn't get many opportunities like that. So I'm not going to lie to you. It was awesome.
Yeah. I was so excited. I read on your IMDb or something and I was like, hold on, how did I miss that? And then I watched it. I was like, really? Oh yeah, I remember her.
Like 2 credits on there. I'm surprised you missed that.
It was perfect. But your comedy background obviously led you guys to your live show. We just got to see you in your show.
Is that what they call it? We'll call it a concert.
Yeah. You rocked our world. So also concert. back in Hollywood this past week. And you guys put on an amazing show. So much high energy. I was tired watching you, to be honest with you.
I'm tired doing it.
Yeah. How?
At any point were you like, man, they should be thinner?
No, not at all. But I really couldn't figure out. I was expecting you guys to come out, jokes, video. But it was physical comedy if you stand up, I think it's physical comedy. So I'm probably – I'm basically Mariah Carey being wheeled from place to place. I want to do something I can sit down. I know. If you can get the people to wheel you, that's the way I say you go. But how did you guys come up with the show, like having the live show?
Well, I think that obviously Jen and I, we love performing together. We had done a lot of improv together and we knew – like it felt like a very natural transition to go from the playroom onto the stage, simply because it all became from a very sort of true place of like, we want to meet these women that are following us. Like, how do we do that? How do we, and we go, oh, we get on stage. And for us, it felt like the stuff that maybe that didn't make the video or the writing that we had done, because we had done so much, we could put that on the stage. And then obviously my husband was a, he's our live show director, and he's one of the owners of the West Side Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. We were able to use they were so generous, let us use the space, and we were able to sort of beat it out fairly quickly. And then we had to turn it around because we did 5 shows in Nebraska and we had never put it on its feet before we did it in front of 1,000 people. Never. No, only one friend, Dana Powell, saw it for us, gave us notes, and we were like, don't you lie to us.
That's a good friend.
It was, I mean, people always ask about like the transition, but in my head there was kind of no transition.
Yeah.
Somebody asked us like, a show promoter said, hey, could you do this as a live show? And we were like, you mean do the thing that we sit in chairs in the playroom doing, just stand up and do that? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of the same thing, basically.
Yeah. And it all kind of came from a moment where a toy company saw some of our toys, a toy company called Fat Brain Toys, saw some toys in our playroom. Mm-hmm. And they're a Nebraska-based company. And they were like, hey, do you want to come back to Omaha to do a show? And we're like, well, if we're going to do a live show, the first show we got to do is home. We got to go home.
Right.
And we were like, yeah, that's awesome. And they were like, when? And they're like, oh, in 2 weeks. And we were like, okay. Wait, what?
Yeah.
So we really got together for like 3 pretty big rehearsals. We were not off book. I mean, we had a big thing on the floor so we could see what beats we were doing next. But like, it was so fast, but it really got us in motion. And then we did 5 sold out shows in Nebraska. So Nebraska, Fat Brain Toys, Jen's dad for buying Fat Brain Toys, put us on the map.
There you go. Wow. So of course, at your live show that we were just at, I was drinking wine right along with you guys. Melissa had Diet Coke because she was worried she was going to have to fend off like some kind of.
We stayed in a sketchy hotel.
And yeah,
I
we did.
My wits. I needed to be alert. So I drank Diet Coke, but Mandy was drinking wine.
I was drinking wine.
Along with 100% of everyone.
Yeah. But we were wondering, when you guys are up there on stage, are you actually drinking wine or is it like a fake out?
No. It's real.
What?
And in fact, it's real. And in fact, like, there's been a couple shows where I've been parched and I was like, my mouth was dry. And so I would take big gulps to like, my cheeks are red. I'm about to get real charming. Like, I need to chill. But yeah, we don't drink a lot. But yeah, there's something about it that makes it very communal.
That's something I'm learning or have learned about this is like, in the videos and on stage, I think people think we're
wasted.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not even the worst. Sometimes we do a lot of laughing on our show, too. And we've had people ask us if we're high while we're recording. So we're familiar with that.
Yeah, we have the giggles.
Yeah, people think we're drunk all the time and we're not. I don't know what that means.
It's the hard part for me is like, I'm like, is it better if I say I'm drunk or if I don't say?
Yeah. And they're like, explain your slurring.
Yeah.
Like, we do. We drink. For us, the wine thing, like, I tried actually at one point to drink, like, I think I tried it like one time in a rehearsal to have like grape juice just to see. And first of all, the sugar went right to my head. And second of all, it feels like fraudulent. And there is something communal about cheersing and toasting and bringing, and it's like that one point where it's not about getting hammered. It's about having a moment with your friends and these lady friends that we haven't met yet. And to toast feels really, really important. It's like, I don't know there. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't, unless somebody says I have to get off a wagon.
Yeah. I was impressed. I was impressed.
Poor order.
Yeah. I totally agree.
It's sunny and beautiful outside, which means I want to be out there. And while I can't just leave the house to vacay at a moment's notice, I sure can pretend. Welcome to the fabulous universe of June Parker's escapades in June's journey. Forget about packing your bags. We're taking you on a roller coaster without a passport. Say goodbye to the mundane and get ready to dive into a whirlwind of drama and elegance with our leading lady, June Parker.
Whether you're itching for a juicy mystery or just desperate for a break from the daily grind, June's journey is your ticket to excitement. Follow June as she unravels family secrets and tiptoes through the tangled mess of her sister's demise. It's like crashing a fancy party, minus the small talk about the weather. although we secretly love that too.
So dust off your virtual flapper dress and buckle up for a wild ride where every corner holds a clue and every twist keeps you on the edge of your seat. But hold on to your pearls. June's Journey isn't your average mobile game. I'm knee-deep in the fifth chapter, and trust me, it's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. With stunning scenery and catchy tunes, this game oozes sophistication and class. Don't waste another second. Jump into June's world and let the adventure begin.
Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Are you ready to revolutionize the way you enjoy food and essentials at home? Introducing DashPass from DoorDash, your ultimate ticket to convenience and savings. With DashPass, you gain exclusive access to unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders, along with members-only deals and discounts that will leave your wallet smiling. Whether you're craving the flavors of your favorite restaurants, need groceries from across town, or anything in between, DashPass ensures that everything you need is just a few clicks away, delivered right to your door. With DashPass, not only do you enjoy $0 delivery fees, but you'll also benefit from lower service fees on eligible orders, making it the most affordable way to satisfy your cravings and stock up on essentials from your local favorites. What I really love is how quickly DashPass pays for itself. On average, it takes just two orders, which makes it a no-brainer investment for your budget. And as if that weren't enough, DashPass grants you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, adding an extra layer of excitement to your DoorDash experience. You get all this for only $9.99 a month, which is a small price to pay for unlimited convenience and savings. My family and I have had DoorDash for the past year or so, and while I make most meals at home, I don't know that I could mom without it. I used it twice just this past week while we were dealing with a stomach bug at home, and it was so nice to have and to be able to focus on getting better and not running all over town to pick everything up for everyone. Don't wait. Sign up for DashPass now and unlock a world of possibilities, all from the comfort of your home. DashPass from DoorDash, delivering joy, convenience, and savings straight to your doorstep.
Get more from delivery for less with DashPass. $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for DashPass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today, only on DoorDash, and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
So we know you guys are really interested in true crime or podcasts and that sort of thing. What kind of led you to the world of true crime?
Oh, boy. First of all, for me, it was a real young person, was unsolved mysteries. Because it would only come on – oh, God, I'm dating myself. It would only come on like once every 3 months. It wasn't a weekly show.
Was it?
No, not on the beginning. In the beginning, or it just felt like months in between.
Maybe I'm thinking of America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted was weekly.
That was Saturday nights with cops.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm a big cops fan.
Your lineup, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, it would come on every 3 months, and I was riveted. I was like, oh, God, there's all these crimes that need to be solved. Yeah. And I'd wait for the next one, and I, any book in that direction, any show in that direction, that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I grew up in a town in Nebraska that had a serial killer. So I think I had Stockholm syndrome is the right thing, but where you feel like I need to know this better. So it's less scary to me, maybe.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Yeah.
I think that's get research. I think Stockholm syndrome is you fall in love with the series. Yeah. that's what you want to talk about right now. That's
I've dated
different show.
Some bad dudes. But I'm willing not that to say, bad. But never like pen palled anyone in prison.
There's
never.
A new reality show about that I'm super loving. Love After Lockup. That's my promo for that show.
I can't with her in reality shows. I'm done with this conversation.
No, it's women who marry guys who are coming out of prison. It's fascinating. Totally fascinating.
They could call that women with low standards.
I've heard, from what I hear, these dating apps are really terrible. So why not? Like, you know.
At least you know what you're getting.
So I became I started reading books about, I'm sure, all of my books on my bookshelf, they're about serial killers or self-help. So it looks like I've got major problems, but I started reading killer books in high school, and I just got hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My ninth grade speech team topic was on cults. And my mother was like, what is wrong with you? I was like reading Helter Skelter. And like, I was like, I looked like I was 10. So like, it was so bad. They were like, oh God, we're in trouble. But I just found it all fascinating.
I've not read Helter Skelter. So I feel like I should lay that on the table right now.
My mom, it's kind of censored it. Once she saw me reading it, she was like, no. And a girl in my town wrote him in prison and he wrote back. And so then the family was so terrified. Charles Manson wrote back. So then the family was so terrified that he had their address. I'm like, they're not coming to Central City. Yeah. But yeah.
Did you know about the, like that cult, this combines the two, the like cult, like murders in Rulo, Nebraska?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. A lot of serial killing going on in the Midwest.
You guys,
and talking about it.
Yeah. Well, Florida, we have our own problems, so I'm excited to hear about these Nebraska cases. That's great.
Yeah, Florida's all kinds of mess.
Yeah. We keep like Dateline in business.
If penis happens, it's going to happen in Florida.
Oh, God.
Yeah, listen, we're crossing our fingers that the podcast eventually takes us out of the state of Florida and, you know, we can move somewhere else with this thing.
We had an overseas listener write us and ask us what is actually the deal in Florida? I mean, it was very Seinfeld-esque. Like, what's the deal with Florida? Like,
no, she really can you explain Florida to me?
Yeah. And we have no answer. There's no answer.
So do you guys have a favorite true crime podcast that you've listened to? I know we talked to you, Jen, a little bit after the live show, and you had mentioned that you like the podcast Serial and the case that that one covers. Do you guys have any other ones that you like to listen to?
For me, Serial was like the one.
Right.
Because I hadn't really jumped on the podcast thing until then. And then it was like a floodgate. But for me, Serial, like the thing that was amazing about Serial is like, first there was nothing, right? There was like, nobody was talking about it. And then everybody's talking about it at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. And then I was like, you could literally be like pumping gas in the car next to you on a like emphatic phone call about who did it. And I would jump in, I'd be like, but you're not taking into account that no one knows where his car was for 2 hours. You know, like
right. They're
just really like, I loved it because it felt like everybody was having the same conversation. And that was what was really fun.
I'm super late to the podcast party. Just believe it or not, like technology wise, like I don't even know how to Snapchat, but like,
oh, I don't know how to do that.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Serial was the first one that I downloaded. And then I did start listening to Undisclosed, right? That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, Undisclosed.
Okay. But we talked about this a little bit, and I know you disagree. I feel like it's kind of tabloidy. I think it's a little like less journalistically like straightforward. So yeah. I think it's because there's so – they're trying to prove that Adnan's innocent so bad. Yeah. Like,
I get it.
Bend stuff a little bit.
Yeah. I think he deserves a new trial, but I still don't know how I feel entirely.
Oh, I don't know either. I got a lot of.
He deserves a new trial, but he did it, y'all.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I don't know. I think there's people to look at other than him. Yeah. I think the boy he looked at more closely.
For sure. The second season of Undisclosed was as close to me writing a possible killer as I've ever come. My husband had to talk me down. The guy that they covered in their second season, I felt terrible for.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Joey something. I can't remember his last name now. But yeah, I was like ready to write a letter. My husband was like, you got to take a step back here. You can't leave me just yet.
Well, then that was about not to jump off podcast, but then in that moment, at the same time, and I could be wrong because like this is all mommy years, so could all make sense. Then the one with what's his name?
Oh, Making a Murderer.
Making a Murderer. Yeah. And then the other one where the guy fesses up to it at the
Jinx.
Jinx.
Yeah. Oh, the burping. All of the burping.
Oh my gosh. I mean, just his like disregard for anybody who he viewed as less than him, which was everybody, was his cavalier nature. I was like, that motherfucker.
That guy was, yeah, that was, that's one of the more interesting ones I've seen. And if anybody doesn't know technology, it's that guy, because he should have turned his mic off when he went to the bathroom.
Good Lord, man. And then, like, also the keepers this year was big for me. Like, I just go into, like, it's literally like a problem. Like, I enjoy it too much.
Yeah.
Well, you're speaking to the right people.
Well, where Kristen and I differ is she likes to read nonfiction, or I'm sorry, fiction.
Oh, boy.
This is not a joke. Okay.
Oh, boy. And
she likes to read made-up stories about...
based on true stories that are more compelling.
Yeah. Or movies. And I feel like if I don't read something that's like nonfiction, true crime book, or a documentary, I feel as though I've wasted that moment in time. Like, I...
Well, but I loved, like, Forensic Files, Dateline... Yeah. All of every version of Dateline, even the one where like they do the weird like voiceover thing where the people that I was walking through the park and then cut to, like, it's totally stylized. I'm like, I'm on board, man. I'm going to find out what stepdaughter murdered the guy that owns the boat company, you know, I'm on board, which happened in Florida. No joke.
Oh, always. Oh, that was the one. Well, there was a Florida boat one that Josh Mankiewicz talked to us about from Dateline, where they like took somebody out to sea, said they were going to buy his yacht, and then he just decided to kill them, dump their bodies, and take the yacht. And I think he was a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, if I'm not mistaken, or I'm just confusing all of the stories.
I'm lost now.
Did I see that one?
That is one to look into. And I think it's even alleged he was a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Like, his IMDb was not up to date at all.
Well, if his IMDb looked like mine, then that's
I think I'm confusing, I might be confusing it. There's like a Forensic Files where the mom and daughter were they got killed. This guy was doing boat rides, and they did in Florida figure out who did it. They went on a boat and he killed them and dumped them in the ocean.
You know what happens so much in Florida that it's definitely one of them, but it could have been part of a series of boat dumping that happened.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that story about the guy who was actually a blood spatter expert and he killed like all the just kidding.
Dexter? Okay.
Yes. Like, wait a minute.
Did you see me like Kristen was like, I have not heard this. I'm like Ape. I'm like, that sounds awesome. Yeah. She's like, his name is Dexter.
Have you watched Dexter yet?
It's a little too graphic for me. Okay. I can't get into it. I did try. I know a lot of people loved it.
I feel like you'd love it.
I know.
I loved it until the last episode, and then I thought it was like the worst ever ending for a show.
Ending.
So
yeah.
I don't
invest too much time into it.
Would not recommend.
I'll tell you when I quit. I could really ruin it for somebody, but
I know where you're going.
I quit watching it sort of mid-run because of what happened with the wife.
Yes.
Like, I don't spoil it, but I was like, you can't do that.
You
can't do that in a show.
Yeah. It got worse, though. He, like, his sister fell in love with him. It got really, really weird.
It got real weird, yeah.
But I stick to shows. Even if I hate it more than anything, I will watch every last episode because I'm invested and I want them to, prove me wrong.
I have bits, like especially like Game of Thrones. I've had so many conversations with my husband and I'm like, who do they think they are that they could just do 6 episodes and then wait another year? Like, I'm gonna stick around. Like, I'm just gonna stick around, nothing to do. And then sure enough, I'll be like hook, line, and sinker the first new episode. Yeah. I won't miss it.
Having a premiere party.
Yeah. I'm like, does anybody want to come over?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm one of those people, though, who doesn't watch a lot of TV unless I feel like it's I'm getting something out of it or it's worthwhile.
She's a judgy TV watcher.
I am a super judgy TV watcher. Melissa loves to watch reality TV and what I like to call trash TV. And I honestly don't know how she fits all of the, you know, fits them all in, because she knows every show that was ever created on every network. I don't know. I don't know how she does it. I don't know if you guys like
does
to watch that type of
TV. Does anyone hear the judgmental tone, or is it just me that hears? I feel like you've been preparing that for a while.
How junky are we talking? Because
trashy, obviously, like 90 Day Fiancé.
Gasp.
That's not trash. That's a sociological
experiment.
Experiment.
We did. And I, well, when you get tired, you don't want to watch anything that makes you think. You just want to like sit with your mouth open and like stare at the TV and not have to. So we watched a lot of those actually. And like, did you guys see Married at First Sight?
I love Married at First Sight. Jamie and what's his face? The ones that really like, she hated him at first and then they fell in love and now they have a baby. I love them.
Okay. See, I haven't done a follow up.
Sorry. Yeah.
Will we quit? No, that's fine.
I follow them on Instagram. It's a whole thing.
Really funny.
I was on bed rest for 6 months with my second pregnancy. All I did was watch absolute garbage TV. I honestly think my IQ dropped a few points just from sheer exposure. So I'm a little bit judgier now than I was then. I was like, all I watched was like, oh, she didn't know she was pregnant or didn't know. I watched 100 episodes of that. There isn't one I haven't seen. And then I so much garbage. I watched, well, this wasn't garbage, but I totally watched true crime, everything.
Oh, yeah.
And like also garbage reality. I mean, I followed like Basketball Stars of Atlanta. Like I just was, I had nothing. Yeah. So all I did was watch just trash.
There's something on every hour. So if you're on bed rest, you can find something on every channel.
I ate bagels and I gained 80 pounds.
There
great.
You go. go ahead.
So getting back to – I'm trying to keep us reined in here for time's sake. just getting back to the way you guys do your videos on Facebook, how do you guys come up with topics? Is it just kind of one of those things where you stumble into it, like something that you guys either say to each other or do and you're like, oh, that would be great for a video? Or is there some other process that you have?
Or my friend judges my TV shows and let's do a video.
That's a good topic.
Yeah, that is a good topic. I think that we just have real things happening in our lives and we have to say what they are. And sometimes you, especially now that we've done so many videos, sometimes I think there's like this idea that it has to be a little snazzy. But what we've realized is like the more specific it is to us and the more real it is to us, the more relatable it is to everybody. Like, you know, anytime I feel like I'm compelled to talk to Jen about it and tell her like, I've got to tell you about this thing. I've got to tell you about this thing. This, you know, person took my parking spot or like, I'm late all the time. Like those are things that feels like people can, women in particular can latch onto. So we just really ask that question, like what's going on with us that we feel like we want to talk about.
That's a great way to do it. Or is it all improv or there's a lot of writing that is involved with it?
We do a lot of writing. We write first and then we have this kind of system that we've set up that works for us. We sort of, we write to sort of become a little bit more economic with our words. And then if something loosens up on the day, we let it go. We follow it and we see what happens.
We tend to like, let's like write stuff down, write our thoughts down on the topic so that we don't, our mom forget. Brains don't take over and we don't forget, but it's like, I don't know what Kristen's going to say really. And she doesn't know what I'm going to say. I mean, well, we've read what each other's thoughts were to help inspire each other, but like, it's not like scripted.
Right.
That's kind of similar to what we do. Actually, when we first started the show, I would just write like a loose kind of outline and then we would just wing it from there. But things went off the rails very easily that
way.
We're
not professional
comedians. Yeah. Well, I mean, just with our conversations, we would get way off track and just be on something completely different. But now we write a lot more of it down so that we can keep the general, you know, theme going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Not go crazy. Well,
we also have our husbands on set and they help us with that because they're like, will you get back to your point?
Yeah.
There's usually a couple marital glances that are very warm and friendly and then we get back to it.
Well, and you guys actually have it harder because I mean you have like an hour and we'll usually shoot for like 40 minutes and cut it down to 5. So we kind of
Oh, the videos are taped in different rooms. Is there a different theme when you do a kitchen video versus a toy room video or?
Oh, that's a good note. Well, we used to partner with Awestruck.
Right.
We wanted the videos that we do for them to be like a little bit different than like our standard fare, like our weekly videos. So we do the videos for them in Kristen's kitchen. And then we do our weekly videos in my train room, our play area.
Okay. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. So last thing about your videos, and then we'll get on to our quick little game we have. But we've noticed that with all of your videos, you guys seem to avoid getting political or
and we're not
giving
asking you to.
No, we don't want you to at all, please, by all means, because we don't either. We keep that completely separate from our show. We don't really think anyone wants to hear our opinions on anything. But we noticed that you guys also don't really get political, and you kind of don't go there with like the hot button issues. Is that something that you've done intentionally?
Yes.
Yes.
We haven't really experienced it that much, knock on wood. We have talked to moms who said that they felt it where there's like this divisiveness or this like pitting, like
one parenting
styles against another. And why bother bringing up anything like that? Because at the end of the day, you know, our politics are like, we love our kids, we love yours too.
Yeah.
Like that's
right.
That's all it boils down to. So why upset anyone?
Yeah. My mom say to family before they came over for like Thanksgiving dinner or any sort of like any kind of exchange, she'd say, no talking about politics or religion. We're going to have a nice day.
That's and exactly the, it. Yeah.
And the thing is that it should be a place where women, moms can go and feel levity and lightness and friendship. And like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe. If you have a sick kid, we're bringing over a casserole, or if, you know, I'm sure that like, it doesn't matter what your religion is. I'm sure you have felt frustrated with your kid. We can all relate to that. So let's right. relate to that and like, let the rest be somebody else's issue.
I love that. That's great.
I do too. Perfectly said. Okay, guys. So we have put together a quick little game for you guys. We told you a little bit about it before we started recording, but it's kind of like a little never have I ever game. So I'm going to say a parenting related thing. And then each one of you is going to say whether you have or haven't done that. And Melissa is keeping points. So we actually already chose two of our listeners. We did like a little drawing earlier this morning. People asked if they wanted to be put in for the drawing. So Kristen's going to play for our listener, Paula D, and Jen's going to play for Megan G. So whichever one of you wins, whoever you guys are playing for, we're going to send them a little something from our show. So,
and by winning, winning, you kind of lose.
Yeah. Like, but if you win, that really means you kind of lose, but at least somebody got a prize for it. So.
I'm pretty confused by the rules, but I'm going to play along. It's fine.
You'll see after I do the first one. So I'm just going to ask you like for example, the first one is, never have I ever given my small child a soda to shut him up.
If you've done it, you say yes.
If you haven't, you say no.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Duh, right?
See, you're already both winning.
Okay. So realize my kid drank some of the wine out of my glass from the night before.
Not yet.
No.
Couple close calls.
My daughter definitely asked me why my juice tasted really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's happened before. Well, sometimes
beer at Kristen's
yeah,
house.
That Jen's son did have a beer at my house, but that's not wine. That's
no.
Beer.
Well, that was just a Friday night. You got to kick your shoes off and
No. Well, now because I used to make the mistake of having wine out of a plastic cup because I thought like I don't want my kids to see mommy with a wine glass all the time, so I'll just put it in a plastic cup. Well, now I had to stop doing that because if they see a plastic cup, they think they can just drink out of it. So. I can't drink out of a plastic cup.
You learned your lesson several times.
Okay. We went to a restaurant and Finn goes, I want a beer. And I was like, oh God, this is terrible.
What kind of plastic cup are we talking about? Like
if it's a red Solo cup, that's like the Florida State.
One of those with the like, big straw.
Yeah, that's how classy we are.
A twisty straw.
Yeah, wine out of a red Solo cup. That's exactly, that's my life right there. Yeah. Okay, so the next one.
I hope this you guys haven't done this, but we had people submit these and this is a popular one.
Yeah, this is a really popular one. A lot of people said they did. I was really concerned. Yeah. So it's left my child at church, the gym, baseball game, anywhere really, only to receive a call hours later that the child was still there by themselves.
That is literally my nightmare. Yeah. That literally, I have nightmares that I lose my kids in Target.
Yeah.
No, I have never done that. We also live in Los Angeles, so it's a little bit different in that, like, it's just, it's when you live in a big city, you're more on guard in that respect than I think if you were living in a little bit more low key of a city. I would, if I lived in Nebraska, I would absolutely have forgotten him like four times by now. Like, but I've never done it yet.
To be fair, all of these stories were basically like parenting in the 80s. Like, I got a call from the church several hours later. So I feel like that was kind of par for the course at the time. So glad to hear we don't have to call DCF on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're older.
When you're older, you just do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
There you go.
Okay. Next one. Witnessed my child wipe their butt with something other than toilet paper, like maybe a shower curtain.
Well, yeah, I mean,
my son wipes his penis on everything.
I'm going to give you a point for that.
I'm impressed if mine are wiping. That's my big, I'm like, oh, well, at least that's not, you know, we're not putting Desitin on at night. That's a good day.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Okay. So never have I ever told my kid his favorite stores were closed. When they weren't.
Yes.
Yesterday. Yesterday. He wanted to go to like a paid play area. And I was like, it's a holiday.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I hate those paid play areas. They're always so overpriced and it's never that fun. I mean, at least not for me because I'm not playing.
I agree.
Tell you what though, if you need a break, I'd pay double. I mean,
at the mall, there was one and it was $15 for a half an hour and there was nothing in it. I was like,
for half an
not
hour?
Even, yeah, not even a, like, I was like, that's absolutely not.
Yeah. Do they?
No, I was like, you run amok in this mall before.
Well, I used to take my kids to the mall play area too, but then.
Ours is free though. We don't.
Right. Well, this one is not the one here. It was in another city I lived in. But I recently went back to that mall and realized they had, I guess I'm going to air quote, redone the kids area. And it was all new, but all that was inside of it was gigantic plastic like breakfast items. Like, I'm not even joking. And it's meant for like playing on, but it was like a piece of bacon was the slide. And then they had like a waffle with fake butter on top.
That's
that
like
kids were climbing on.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah. It was terrible.
We used to go to the place that had all enormous shiny fruit, like banana. And like my son would get in trouble for shoving other kids off the watermelon.
That's yeah, perfect. I don't get that at all. Okay, never have I ever made my kids lie about their age to get into something for free or less than the normal price.
Oh my God. My husband tried to do it at Disney and I like caved. I like I confessed. That's why I'm like afraid to like ever talk to a police officer because I feel like I'm going to confess to a crime I didn't commit just
100%. That's me.
But I will say that would be hard because her son Finn looked like he was 3 months.
Yeah, he was giant.
Like, he had it like a 5 o'clock shadow. Well, I haven't done that, but I would like to do that on planes sometimes.
Well, you know, you have to prep your kid ahead of time because one time I tried to do it at Disney and, but they asked my son how old, they just looked at him and they're like, well, how old are you? Well, I tried to speak up and I was like, oh, he's 3. And he goes, no, I'm not. I'm 4.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Worse. Yeah. Especially at that age too. They're like, I'm 3 and 5/8.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 4 in 4 days.
Yeah. You just lie to them and skip birthdays real young. That way they can be like, seriously, I'm 11. And they can, like, they look old enough to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
All right. Two more. So never have I ever considered cereal a dinner.
Mm. The podcast?
No.
Oh,
the food.
Actual cereal. Yeah. Milk and cereal.
You served your kids cereal for dinner?
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a bad choice?
No.
Not, because that's a regular rotation at my house.
Yeah.
They've absolutely done that.
Yeah, yes.
Perfect.
All right, last one. Your entire family has eaten the same meal without anyone complaining.
What? Wait, are we in La La Land?
Yeah.
We make you work hard for these points.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Did I cook it?
Yes, you cooked it.
A whole meal without a complaint to date? No.
Well, I hate to tell you, our kids are a little bit older and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. If I made like a bowl of goldfish, and that's what we all ate, maybe, but no, that's never happened at our
house. No, never, ever. Not ever one time.
No, don't hold your breath either.
No. Okay, so you guys, Kristen got 5 points, Jen got 4. You guys are pretty close, but looks like our listener, Paula D., is going to get something from us. This is, we're terrible. Paula. We don't even know what we're sending her, but, but she will be getting something from us.
No, you're good. You're good. You sort of won at the same time, so yeah, I wouldn't feel too bad.
That's never been the question.
No, that's totally not good. Happened before.
No, that's all right. Well, we want to thank you guys so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. We know you're incredibly busy. And, where can people find you on the internet?
Ooh. On Facebook is the best place for you to see the videos. And then we do post a couple on YouTube just so everybody has access to them. But really following us on Facebook at iMomSoHard is the best way to get notifications and see our new videos and what we're up to.
Perfect. Well, you guys have a great week. Thanks for being with us. Best of luck in everything that's coming up in
2018. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello. My name is Kim, and I'm the host of a new podcast in this new year called People Are Wild. Join me, your friendly neighborhood ER nurse, as I discuss medical marvels and topics with a splash of tales from the emergency department. Let's face it, our bodies are weird, so let's talk about all the wild things that they can do every week on a little thing I like to call Medutainment Mondays. That's medical entertainment smushed together, high-quality humor. That's what you have to look forward to every week. Find me on iTunes or your preferred podcast listening app. And remember, people, they're just wild.
Hey, it's me, Javier, and I'm back with Pretend Radio. I continue to explore the concept of people pretending to be someone else, like Carl, who comes from a long line of con artists.
My father taught me at a young age. He says, Carl, the two easiest things to sell anybody, anything that'll improve their looks and anything that'll make them money. And that's what you want to sell.
But guess who else I have on the show? The FBI agent who busted him. Oh, yeah. I also started doing a little digging and found this whole community of parents who are making their kids drink bleach to cure them from their autism.
She said that parasites are causing autism, and the only way to get rid of autism is to kill the parasites with this solution. So parents are giving it to their children, and they're having sores break out on their children's arms. They are having bowel lining come out of their children.
Also, I talked to a millionaire whose life was destroyed by a con man, but then ended up becoming a con artist herself. Plus, I tell a story I don't like to talk about often. It's my personal encounter with a psychopath. Pretend Radio Season 2 is coming soon. Subscribe to Pretend Radio wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks so much for listening to the Moms of Murder podcast. Make sure to check back with us next week for a new episode. You can also find us at momsandmurder.com, where you can connect with us via social media. Please make sure you subscribe and give us 5 stars, because giving us 4 stars would be a crime. Thanks so much.